Hello and welcome to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. I'm Eric Jansen. This week, hate speech and other modern music. My guest tonight has been described as an emerging modern music evangelist and an exuberantly expressive pianist who vividly displayed his enthusiasm for every phrase. Those quotes are from Time Out New York and the Los Angeles Times, respectively. And the Baltimore Sun said, if they gave medals for musical bravery, dexterity, and perseverance, Adam Tendler would earn them all. His composition for piano and audience cell phones, Hate Speech, has its West Coast premiere this weekend. Against a backdrop of solo piano, it has whispered words culled from a Tea Party politician's Facebook page. Adam says it's a protest piece dedicated to the memory of Matthew Shepard. He'll perform it Saturday night at San Francisco Center for New Music in a concert with KALW's Revolutions Per Minute host and acclaimed pianist Sarah Cahill. He has also written a memoir about coming out and coming of age during his America 88 by 50 tour, on which he played for free in at least one venue in every state, spreading the word about modern music. Adam flew out from New York a day early so he could be here with us in person in KALW studios. By the way, thanks to Virgin America Airlines for changing Adam's reservation without extra charge at short notice so that he could be here for this interview. So, Adam Tendler, thanks for changing your plans and welcome to Out in the Bay.
Thanks so much.
So you'll be performing five pieces Saturday night. It's a night of new music, and we'll get into what new music means a little bit later. But let's first talk about Hate Speech, and we'll play some of it, too. What inspired you to write this piece?
Well, it was actually several years ago. I was approached by a friend who taught in a middle school in Florida, and he wanted a piece for his band. So the piece actually started as a piece for kids. And I envisioned experimental elements in it, but I was really taken by the idea that kids would be performing my work, and I was thinking about my experience when I was in the sixth or seventh grade, which was highly negative, and it was because I was bullied a lot. And it was, you know, it's good to know that now there's a lot of attention being put on bullying. It's sad, the circumstances that are leading to it, but I'm grateful to know that we have attention being paid to it. Like, it's a worthy thing. This was kind of before this sort of wave of tragedies that were happening because of bullying.
Right, that we just saw pop up in the last 3 or 4 years and a lot more attention to it.
Yeah, and the school was a little bit nervous about this idea. I'm not sure how that would play now, because I found this text on a Facebook page. It wasn't like I was scrolling through someone's Facebook page. Like a lot of things, people noticed when this politician said these things and was exchanging in a dialogue with his Facebook friends and referencing Matthew Shepard's murder in a very joking way. And it was all within some conversation about marriage equality, which was also kind of interesting to think that they would be joking about a murder of a gay youth in the context of marriage equality. Anyway, I still thought it was something that speech, I wanted to take it out somehow and really not just let it kind of float away like a lot
like
of these ephemeral
yeah.
news
mm-hmm.
stories that we see in sort of the age of Facebook. And so, yeah, I started to integrate it into the piece, and I was having students whisper it so that we would be hearing this kind of repeated piano phrase and different instruments coming in and out maybe, and students who weren't playing were going to be whispering and by chance operations.
In this junior high school band. Right.
And I wrote the whole piece, and it never got played. It kind of fizzled out and got shoved under a bed, basically.
So now it's for piano and audience cell phones. So how are audience cell phones incorporated?
So then I started to think about how to bring it back, and it was for a performance actually with Sarah Cahill and I doing a joint recital in Brooklyn. And I just liked the phrase that the piano was doing, and I still thought that the theme was important. And so the cell phone, basically, I thought, I can whisper this text. I can do it. And I can create a pre-made audio track with these whispers. And if everyone in the audience has a cell phone in there a lot, or some kind of device that will amplify this sound, and I don't want it to be featured. I wanted it to be sort of soft. And the point was never to hear really the speech. It was sort of to create the idea of whispers surrounding and an audience member, to surround our senses, to hear these whispers. And I thought, I can achieve that really, again, in this digital age, if people just simply stream this track while I play the piano. And in the audience, basically, if everyone is streaming this track at a different... I basically say they should start it within 30 seconds of the piece beginning. And so what we have, in effect, is a lot of overlapping of this whisper. Mm-hmm. And what it really sounds like is a lot of people whispering at once. And the track isn't just one. There's a couple whispered tones going on at once, even within the track. So you have this quiet but sort of massive overlay of... if there's people there, that is. This is granted we have an audience. But you have this quiet but massive overlay of text happening.
And you said when we spoke on the phone last week that the effector in a way was sort of like you had felt when you were a kid, that people were whispering about you, as many of us queer kids were. People were whispering or saying things about us sort of out of earshot. We didn't really know what they were saying. We assumed they were talking about us in a negative way, but we didn't really know for sure what that is what's going on.
That's what I was going for in the piece. I wanted people to feel that kind of quiet menace of, you know, and maybe it's okay that we don't know exactly what they're saying. I mean, I distinctly remember being in a library in my high school, actually, and hearing whispers. And I did, and this kind of carries over. Even now, I assume people are whispering. If I hear something and I hear someone laugh, I've kind of been trained. And it's sad, but part of my conditioning, I feel like, in that kind of school environment, is to assume that I'm getting bullied in some way, because there was such an intense bullying, at least for a little while. And so it's sort of to create, it's to recreate that feeling. And the text isn't, it's weirdly harmless if you just take it, if you just disconnect it, which is also why the piece, I was fascinated with how it was seen as being maybe too political for kids in the beginning, because the speech is actually pretty silly. Mm-hmm. I think fruits are decorative, hang up where they can be seen and appreciated, is the first text that was written. Again, it's harmless, except if you don't know what we're talking about.
Right. And then what was the next line of that? To display instructions. Something about display instructions.
So that was the Tea Party person's friend who said that. And then the politician wrote back, I'm taking out a select part. Where can I get that Wyoming printed instruction manual? And then that person wrote back, should be able to get info in Gazette archives, maybe even an illustration, go back a bit over 10 years. Mm-hmm. So they're explicitly talking about Matthew Shepard. There's no denying that.
Right, his murder and the police newspaper coverage of it.
And that he was strung up, and that he was, found... strung to tied to a fence. And so this was their joke. And again, it's not like it happened and no one noticed, but I just thought we needed to maybe take a microscope to it. And it's not like this piece is the biggest, most famous piece in the world by any means, but it's also like you can't...
But it's just now having its West Coast premiere.
Exactly.
I mean, it can't be famous yet.
But there is also a sense of, you said this thing... You know, again, this is the digital age. You put something out there and it's there, and so, we're not going to ignore it.
So let's hear a little bit. So what we're going to hear first is, this is from the SoundCloud track, and you basically tell audience members to go to the SoundCloud, your SoundCloud page, and this is where they're going to find the audio that they're going to play during the concert, right?
Yeah, it's super easy. People who come to the concert, it's printed in the program. It's actually, there's a very short URL, bit.ly/hatespeechtendler, and you can stream it right from that page. It goes to my blog, actually. You can stream it right there, you can download it, you can go to YouTube or a Vimeo page. So there's all these different ways people can stream it.
Okay.
And it's printed in the program. So what people will hear now is basically that isolated track. So they're going to hear me whispering.
And it's very slow. It's kind of hard to make out the words, but let's go ahead and play it. Let's crank it up a little bit and we'll go.
One thing about how slow it is, sorry, is just I was trying to fit this text into a certain period of how long I thought the piano music could last safely. The text is drawn out, and then in the background, if you listen very carefully, you can hear the text being whispered at regular pace. This is very slightly embarrassing, by the way.
So I was able to make out a little bit of that there, yeah. Something about marriage and Wyoming and hung up where they can be seen. So now let's hear, we're going to hear part of the entire piece, Hate Speech, recorded at a live performance you gave in Boston, the world premiere in March. So
yeah,
again,
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. And you have to listen closely to hear the whispered words, but they're in there. That's Hate Speech, performed by Adam Tendler at its world premiere in Brooklyn in March. He'll perform it for the first time on the West Coast this Saturday in San Francisco at the Center for New Music on Turk Street. You're listening to Out in the Bay. I'm Eric Jansen. Adam Tendler is my guest tonight. I forgot what I was going to ask you there. it was a question about how long this piece is, and it's five minutes, and the music itself is very kind of soft and beautiful, but yeah. A little bit somber in a way too.
Very, the music's not. Every phrase changes in its own way, and it kind of grows, and then it kind of dies back down again. I was, trying to kind of create this pure thing. Surrounded by a lot of noise, by static. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what we have going on in a lot of...
all around
us. A lot
of
what faces the community is there's a pure thing, or there's just, it's not like people are angels, but you have this something that's not evil. Mm-hmm. A person, a human being, and we surround them with noise. It doesn't matter how loud it is, it's still menacing. And that's what I was going for. I wanted this kind of thing that's not really being affected by the other stuff, but it's transformed somehow because it's happening. Mm-hmm. I also wanted to kind of put the audience in that role of having to sort of be associated with the negative noise. Like they're providing, that's kind of why I like it, with the audience being a participant. More so than how it would have been if the kids were doing it, because it kind of turns the... So first of all, I like the fact that we're all kind of this quorum doing it together. Everyone's sort of involved in the performance. I'm not like a big audience participation guy. Like, I'm the guy who doesn't like to do that kind of stuff. And I honestly think at that Brooklyn performance, more people could have participated.
So San Francisco
tomorrow,
Brooklyn had to do
it. I'm going to be like a kindergarten teacher. I'm like, I'll wait.
Wait till you get your cell phones out.
But I did like the idea of people having to sort of be uncomfortably associating with not the pure thing. Now we have to feel what it's like to be antagonizing someone, mm-hmm. to sort of switch it around. And it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to have this thing held in your lap that's making this ugly sound.
Yeah, right.
And to hear it coming from around.
From all around.
And right. I think the piece is much cooler. I mean...
Sounds better in the audience.
Yeah, it sounds much better in the audience. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Uh-huh. I love knowing when I hear that first whisper come up, I feel really... I felt that in Brooklyn. It feels really good because I know that people are going to do this with me now.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know that it must sound much better out there.
Right. Well, I'm looking forward to it. As hate speech was inspired originally by Adam's remembrances of bullying and people whispering hateful things in his direction when he was a kid, I just want to give a quick shout out to Ray of Light Theater. Its production of Carrie the Musical runs through November 2nd at Victoria Theater in San Francisco. And Carrie is all about teen pressure and conformity and high school bullying. And it's a really spirited production with an energetic and talented young cast. And they have a special after-show discussion about bullying after the matinee on Saturday, November 2nd. Check that out. It's the information's at rayoflighttheater.com, Carrie the Musical. So at the concert this Saturday, Modern Piano Lineages, you and Sarah Cahill will be performing the work of several gay and lesbian composers. So tell us a little bit about them and how you put this program together.
Well, you know, she and I, we give each other a lot of space and freedom to kind of curate our halves of our programs. It's so cool. I love doing this with her because... Well, first of all, I've idolized her for a very long time. I think she's really, she's a legend to me. And so to be sharing a bill with her is always just such a huge honor. And I like to look to her programs because I just learn a lot from them. But anyway, I kind of wait to see what she's doing. She kind of just waits to see what I'm doing. And this one, I wish I could give you a more scientific answer.
Well, that's so
answer.
Funny because, you know, it's funny. It's in your news release about how your collaboration in Brooklyn, your last collaboration in Brooklyn, I suppose that's the one where you played Hate Speech,
yeah.
Had the New Yorker calling them both maverick pianists.
Yeah, that was nice. Well, you know, that's the thing. We're both from different coasts and we're both different pianists. But, you know, we both have independent voices and I think it's actually really nice to have a half program. We have about an hour each or 45 minutes each. It really gives us freedom to kind of bring in pieces that kind of push the boundaries a little. She's doing some of the Book of Sounds by Hans Otte, but he's not a gay composer, but amazing, like minimalist, beautiful textures, incredible stuff. Anne Southam, she's doing pieces by Anne Southam. Now she's has some really lively quotes about growing up gay, in an intolerant era. And so that's one of the lesbian composers she's playing. It's again very interesting. We noticed with this program that there was a lot of what we would call minimalism on it, but through many different like a prism of minimalism. Every one of these pieces sounds very different, but the composers a lot of the times are seeing what they can do with less means, you know, and how to like take a microscope to less and to, I don't know, just to explore small fragments. So the Anne Southam sets are really amazing. So rhythmic, like very dancey. That's Sarah's set. And Ania Lockwood, who is another composer she's playing, very cool, like experimentalist lesbian composer as well, who's just done some super, I mean, Wikipedia-ing her is really fun in itself, okay. Just to see the things that she's done.
Let's talk a little bit about Anthony Porter, because I want to play some more music of... This is not you playing the song that you're going to be playing. Sarah always busts me on this.
I say song
instead of selection or piece or composition.
It's okay.
So this is Anthony Porter. Now, we're going to be playing... this is you playing another composition of his called Memory Petals.
Memory Petals.
So, and then you're going to play something different, right?
Yeah. I honestly don't remember how we met. It's probably some digital way, like he might have heard of what I was doing or I might have heard of what he was doing, but he sent Memory Petals to me several years ago and I started touring with it. It's very cool. Again, he's just an amazing guy, gay composer, but, it's funny because we're in this era where it's... You know, he's a gay composer, but it's like I don't even really associate.
Yeah, well,
yeah, you know what I mean?
It's not a big deal, but...
He has, again, it's just this beautiful aesthetic that he has. It's, as in Memory Petals, I'm doing a piece called The Slow Melt. He can really take the music and the pianist to a really experimental edge. Every time I actually get the piece that I'll do Saturday, he would send it to me, like, page by page. I knew what it sounded like because I'd heard... fragments of him playing it, but he would send me like a page by page like section, and every time I'd get it I'd think I don't know how to play this, and I'm going to figure it out. Like, for some reason, and it was like that with Memory Pedals, too. I remember just showering him with questions. And it's all very clear, but it's very, you know, he really pushes the performer.
So let's hear a little bit of this, because it's go ahead and start playing it. I think it starts out kind of quietly. And
and this is a piano. What we'll hear is, this is prepared piano.
Now, when you say prepared piano, what does that mean?
He instructs for me to put materials inside the piano before the performance. John Cage was really famous for doing this, you know, a half a century ago. But, Porter instructed me to put, like, erasers and screws and...
So that's why it sounds so weird and tinny. Okay.
Yeah, that's why it sounds like a percussion instrument.
So go ahead and crank it up a little bit. Thanks, Joanne. So that is my guest Adam Tendler playing Anthony Porter's piece Memory Pedals.
And one more. Another composer on the program, Luciano Chiesa, there's a piece for video and piano, which is also amazing. It's called Tomboy, and he called all of the titles for the movements, some of which I can't say on the air, from lesbian literature appeared from the 1920s to the 1970s. And he kind of plays with it, because often it was negative. You know, the lesbian culture was painted as a negative thing. And so he plays with that in this piece. And the video is really wild. I think it's an amazing piece. It might be a head scratcher for some people, but I think it's really awesome. And so there's really incredible work throughout the entire program from the gay and lesbian community, and we're really thrilled to be presenting it.
Great. And that's this Saturday at the Center for New Music, which is at Turk Street, the 55 Turk Street. So the first block of Turk
Taylor
from Mark. Oh,
Taylor
I think it's
Street.
Turk.
Really?
The address on it says Turk, but it's near Taylor.
Okay. Okay,
it's
you're
near
right.
Taylor, but anyway, it's right there. It's right near Market Street. It's kind of right on the edge of the Tenderloin, so it'll be gritty and fun.
Thanks for telling me.
Okay. So look, tell us about this. A few years ago, you did this tour called 88 by 50. I know it was a few years ago, but you've written a memoir about coming out and coming of age on that tour, which is in the process of finding a publisher.
Yeah.
What was the purpose of that tour? What was that about?
You know, there was several. There was the purpose that I was telling in my big mission statement, which was about, you know, discovering my country and sharing modern music with underserved communities, which was valid. And it was true. A lot of reasons why I was playing a lot of modern music or modern American music, but I really wanted to know my country. I felt like I was just coming out of school at Indiana University, and I felt like I really wanted to get to know my country. At the same time, I was also really just needing to get to know myself, and I didn't really realize it at the time until the tour was happening that this was a coming out tour. It doesn't mean that at the end I miraculously came out, even though I think that that was maybe an expectation.
So what was happening along the way? I mean, what was...
I was meeting a lot of gay and lesbian people on the road, and really actually I was realizing it was the first time I'd actually been living and getting to know these people. It wasn't like I had been living as a monk until then, but I had also been living in such a deep state of denial. And the book kind of goes into that. And so with each state...
Now, were you living in New York by then, or were you in Vermont?
I went basically was in Vermont for about a year before the tour, and I was working construction and teaching piano and substitute teaching just to raise money for the tour. Because I had no plan, and so no one would give me any money to do it. So I was like, well, I'm just going to do it on my own. Which is sort of what's happening with the book. It's interesting because the book is taking a classical music / road trip story and infusing it with this also coming out story. And a lot, you know, it's been about 7 years of dancing with publishers and agents who really think that it's risky. Again, it's kind of shocking to me that story seems like such a tremendous risk. And so I'm actually like a button away from pressing like the button that's going to self-release it independently, because I'm just tired of doing that dance, and I'm just going to do it on my own, maybe.
Joanne, thank you for she looked up the address, and you're right, it's 55 Taylor. I could have sworn it was 55 Church Street. 55 Taylor, the Center for New Music. That's where the performance is Saturday.
And so we're at the 11th hour with the book. There may be one more publisher who may do it, but I'm really at the point where I really just want to have the story told and also just kind of watch this project grow. I mean, the tour was about doing it myself, and the book might end up being about doing it myself too.
Okay. So we just have a couple of minutes left. One of the other performers you're going to be playing a selection from is Philip Glass.
Yeah.
And this is like one of his rarely heard Philip Glass pieces, Severe.
It's
and why is
severe.
It that no? Why is it that it's rarely heard?
Well, it's pretty. I mean, this is the period of Philip Glass's output where he was. Yeah, it was the late 60s. He was really going for super repetition, tiny fragments of sound that were getting repeated and added little bits on, then maybe subtracting a note. So he was dealing almost like, again, with like this microscope, taking like a fragment and putting a microscope on it and playing with it. So this piece that I'm playing goes on for about 20, 25 minutes, and there's only 5 notes that we'll hear in the whole piece. But he arranges it in a way, and this is his genius, really, and this is why I love this era of his music, and it's why his opera from that era, Einstein on the Beach, is continuing to sell out shows. Yeah, there it is. This is him playing it.
So this is Philip Glass himself playing 2 pages.
Yes.
And so I was listening to this, and I could say, yeah, I think I hear a little bit different, but mostly it seems like it goes on and on. It's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
So you've brought my
your
Casio
keyboard. It's not my keyboard.
And Adam is such a good sport. He's actually going to play a little bit and sort of try to illustrate. Joanne, you could fade that down, but keep it rolling. I think we'll go out with this instead of the theme song at the end.
So the 5 notes that the piece starts with are...
Oh my God, it's in pitch. I can't believe it.
Yeah, right? And so what he will do next is he'll add this fragment but take a note away. So hear that?
Yeah.
And then he'll do it again.
Ah.
And he'll do it again.
I can see it too. That makes it easier.
Yeah.
So when you go to the concert, make sure you get a place where you can see Adam's hands.
and then later he adds a note. And then he'll add 2 notes. And every time the rhythm transforms, and by the end of the piece, you have this kind of mass, again, this mass of sound and overtones. With the piano, it's super cool. And I think, I mean, I like the way I do it. If I could, I'm rarely confident,
so
but I like the way I do it. And I think it's a super riveting.
And it'll sound quite different on the piano, obviously,
yeah.
But yeah.
It's really cool. I wouldn't devote basically half my program to it if I didn't think it was cool.
All right. Well, we'll see how cool it is this Saturday.
You be the judge.
You've been listening to Out in the Bay, Gay Radio from San Francisco. I want to thank my guest, pianist Adam Tendler. He performs the West Coast premiere of his own composition, Hate Speech, for piano and audience cell phones, Saturday night in San Francisco Center for New Music. It's a concert called Modern Piano Lineages, and KLW's Sarah Cahill also performs that concert. 2 great pianists. More info online at centerfornewmusic.com. You can also learn more about Adam and his site, adamtendler.com. That's last name is spelled T-E-N-D-L-E-R. If you missed part of this broadcast, you can hear the whole thing on our website, outinthebay.org, by about 8 o'clock tonight. You can also sign up there for free podcasts and get the Stitcher app. That's right, Stitcher, that lets you hear radio programs on mobile devices. It's free. You can also hear our most recent shows right on the site and about a dozen of our favorites from our 9 years on the air. That's right, 9 years this month. Out in the Bay is independently produced by me and Marilyn Pittman. We thank KLW, our host station, for studio use and airtime, and tonight's engineer, Joanne Marr. We've been producing Out in the Bay for 9 years, as I said, and as an independent production, not a KALW staff production, Out in the Bay receives no funds from KALW, so we would appreciate your financial support. It's easy and tax-deductible on our website, outinthebay.org. Out in the Bay is supported in part by the Bar Association of San Francisco's Lawyer Referral and Information Service, providing legal referrals in over 100 areas of the law, including those most relevant to the LGBT community. Information online at sfbar.org/LRIS. Or by phone at 415-989-1616. That's the SF Bar Association's Lawyer Referral and Information Service. We'd love to hear from you with segment suggestions, general comments, and questions. So write to us, Eric at outofthebay.com and Marilyn at outinthebay.com. I'm Eric Jansen. Thanks for listening.